Joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is from the Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon. Doug, let's start with the news of the day. The Browns make a trade. They send Emmanuel Acho, linebacker, to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for a running back, Deion Lewis. Interesting young guy who's now on the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, you know, Acho really probably didn't fit the scheme of what they were doing. Going from the transition of a 4-3 to a 3-4. So, you pick up somebody, and, yeah, we have depth at running back, but as I think we've all seen, you just can't get enough of them a lot of times because, you can lose one in the preseason, you can lose one in the exhibition season, and the next thing you know, you're looking for them. So with that, it also, will probably, save some depreciation on Trent's body.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing this does is it creates more competition to back up Trent Richardson. Chris Obunia got that contract extension. You would think he's in pretty good stead. Montario Hardesty is still here. He was thought of, again, as that change-up, explosive kind of speed rusher. But this guy, Lewis, 5'8", 195, hasn't had a lot of production, 69 yards on 13 carries for the Eagles last season. This is his third season out of Pitt in the NFL, but he's only going to be, this is, I think, the real interesting part, he's only going to be 22 when the season begins. That's the age that a lot of rookies coming out of this year's class are, and I think that part fascinates me, and also the fact that he was a highly productive player at Pitt. You look at his college career and his college numbers, speak to a guy who, get this, for his first two seasons at Pitt, 2,860 yards, fourth on the school's all-time rushing list. He had the most 100-yard rushing games, most yards rushing, 1,799, most touchdowns, 18, and the most points scored, 108, by a freshman in the school's history. And that's a school that has a Hall of Famer by the name of Tony Dorsett who played there.
Yeah, and I think, the thing is that Joe Banner obviously probably had some idea of him having, come out of the Philadelphia So, I mean, when you got knowledge of a guy, that also helps, too.
Sure. And that background says that that's the case. I don't see much in the way of production that tells me, only three catches for 21 yards as a receiver. So I look at a guy who is probably more of that. I'm not going to say one-dimensional because he probably would get involved in catching the ball in this offense, but and have to do that and have to show that. But that does seem to be something that Chris Obunia has more as a specialty and more as a blitz pickup guy. I don't know that a guy 5'8", 195 is going to be taking on a lot of big blitzers.
No, I mean, and that's one of the things that you got to find out about your running backs, who's capable to anchor down and pick up a 260-pound linebacker. Trent did a good job. Montario did a decent job, when he was in there too. And Obunia, he's just one of those blue-collar backs. So you've got a nice mix of a little bit of everything.
And it's interesting, Doug, how this roster takes shape for the sake of the defense, finding the right fits. You mentioned about Emmanuel Acho. This team was pretty excited when it was able to draft him last year. But Tom Heckert drafting for he was a sixth round pick, but I think there was a sense that he was certainly a good fit in the 4-3 scheme that they had last year. But then he was on IR for the whole season with that knee injury, which certainly he suffered that in the preseason, certainly kills your chances to make an impact. But the thought all along was once he's healthy, he might be able to contribute or do something. But really, when you think of him physically now, and when I was looking at him early in this offseason program, being back in the building with the other players these last couple of weeks, I didn't see a guy that, from a physical prototype standpoint, I could say, yeah, he could be, an inside linebacker in the 4-3 or certainly outside linebacker. He looked just kind of too small for both of those roles and maybe just kind of a real tweener in that type of scheme. Maybe in the 4-3, and that's what the Eagles would look at, that he'd be a better fit.
Well, yeah, and he used to locker back there with Dawson and the other kickers. So when you used to go back there, he looked big. But when you think that he was dressing next to Dawson and Reggie Hodges, then maybe he wasn't so big.
Yeah, next to other linebackers. And it was funny because, I happened to see him. It was at the Gladiator game last weekend. and he was there with some of the other linebackers, Craig Robertson and James Michael Johnson. You know, I look at a James Michael Johnson, who's a bigger guy, and I think there you've got some inside depth. I think you got a guy that probably this team could give a good look to as someone who could give them some depth in one of those inside positions.
Well, yeah, and with the departure of Chris Gokong, I think that's something that they're going to need somebody to line up next to DeQuell. And I think with the other Robertson, you really don't know because he hasn't played in the 3-4. So that's something I think they're going to have to address in the draft, not just perhaps the outside part of it, but the inside linebacker as well as the cornerback and safety.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug, some draft talk, lots of speculation about what every team will do, but in the Browns discussion at number 6, people kind of go all over the lot now, and we've heard D. Milner being like a fait accompli, like it's just a no-brainer. They get the Alabama cornerback, and then you have others who maintain that it's a pass rusher of some sort of an outside linebacker. But there are those, ESPN's Todd McShay for one, who could see the Browns using that 6th overall pick on Geno Smith, on going the quarterback route. And you don't hear that commonly because of maybe for two very big reasons. One of them is Joe Banner. You look at what he has stressed as a point of emphasis for this team going into the draft, that it's more the edge rusher they're looking for, and that he didn't rule out anything regarding a quarterback being drafted, but you didn't get the sense, or don't get the sense, that that's a high priority. And I think the other part of this is you're still trying to figure out what you have with Brandon Whedon, and it would effectively kind of give you a couple of rookies in your mix.
Yeah, and I think you really need another year with Brandon Whedon. The one problem you're going to have is you're going to be changing the offense, but the offense that you're changing to, I think, is going to be a better fit for Brandon Whedon with the vertical ball. With that, I think, you've got to look at, once you get a healthy Trent Richardson for a whole year, hopefully, that'll make a difference in Brandon's performance and take a lot of the pressure off of him. I think, as you look at it, to add another quarterback, and is he a sure thing? He could go anywhere from 1 to 32 or, whatever. And I'm not sure if he's of the RG3 or the Luck caliber.
Yeah, you wonder about that. And that's the biggest thing, too, is the judging this year's class on last year's production. And it's so hard. I think it's probably darn near impossible, I think, for so many, for any of the players coming in this year to be looked at and say, okay, do for us what Andrew Luck did in Indianapolis, and oh yeah, that's a playoff team, and do for us what Robert Griffin III did, and that's a playoff team, and even despite the injuries he dealt with, the effectiveness that he had, do for us what Russell Wilson did. And I thought it was such an extraordinary class, and I'm not saying you can't get rookies to produce at a high level at the quarterback position when you see it happen in multiple places. But I think there's something to be said for an exceptional draft year at the position versus what would maybe be more of a normal year, which is not seeing these guys necessarily do that type of thing.
Well, and at this point, not having a second-round draft pick, you definitely have to make sure that guy you draft number one is going to be on the field the majority of the snaps. And I think, having a Brandon Whedon, having a Jason Campbell, now you got three people, and I don't know if in training camp you could sort that out.
Yeah, that would be the other challenge with that, to be sure. This team gets on the field next week, and I think that's something everybody's looking forward to. They've been here just about two full weeks now with the off-season conditioning program, and it's been mostly about all that. A lot of classroom time. Players have been in meetings with the coaches, getting to know them, and I guess getting to know certainly the playbook and what the responsibilities will all be. The coaches working intensely with all these players and with each other to figure all this stuff out. But I think we get to see something that a lot of us are looking forward to just see how this team, how they interact with each other on the field, and how some of these new pieces, and again, no pads, I know it's very limited in what they'll do, but it's always, I think, a, I think we'll always come away with something that you can take from watching these guys in these drills.
Well, and the other part of it is I think, you know, the exposure to Ray Horton from the defensive players, I think, you know, just a couple of interviews I've heard, they seem to be all in for his style of defense. It's going to be aggressive, and it's going to be one that's going to attack. So when you got to sell the programs on the players on the program, and I think, you know, defensive players like the word attack. You know, they don't like that prevent word. So I think, you know, you're going to find a lot of energy there because of that.
Yeah, you're hearing that as it's a common thread in any discussion with the players, from the guys in the front seven to the defensive backs, the Joe Haydens, talking about that theme that they're very fired up about the chance to make plays, to be involved. And that's not to say they didn't or couldn't in the previous scheme, but this one, when they see what they're being asked to do, they get excited. It's a lot of risk-taking, Doug, but it's a chance to have big reward.
Yeah, it's a chance to, you know, put the pressure on the other team's offense. And, if somebody's just going to sit back, you know, and then you give the quarterback a chance, you know, that's one of the things. But you got to, you know, match up your personnel to, you know, what your philosophy is. And I think, you know, by going after Paul Kruger and free agency, they got, you know, probably the best pass rusher in free agency. So, you know, they've addressed, you know, part of that. And, you know, now I think, you know, you got to find out what Jabal Sheer is going to be as the other outside linebacker.
Yeah, that's a big question that's got to be answered. And the other thing I found, too, to your point about how enthusiastic these players are about being part of the scheme, but also how they're working with each other, and to hear Quentin Groves talk about how he's already kind of gotten a fast friendship going with DeQuell Jackson, how the two of them, he was talking about being kind of joined at the elbow. And a lot of it is Groves looking to a fellow veteran who certainly knows all there is to know inside and outside about this Browns defense from the personnel side, but it's Groves who really knows the Ray Horton scheme, and just having those two guys together meshing, I think, is a very encouraging thing.
Well, and just knowing DeQuell and the type of leader that he is, he's picking Groves' mind for everything that he can, because, you know, he's probably one of the most prepared players that you'll find. And you know, that's why, you know, he was a captain, because, you know, DeQuell's one of those guys that's, you know, he wants to be good and he wants the team to be good. And he's not an I, me guy. He's a team guy.
Yes, no doubt about it. That's what they used to say about you, Doug.
I don't know about that one.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and we will do this again next week.
Sounds good.
He is Doug Deacon. He's on the Revel Wireless Hotline, joining us from the Browns Radio Network on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.